Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. We know that we have some new listeners, which we're really excited about. So if this is your first time or second time listening, what's up? Welcome to the pod.
Welcome. We know that we generated a lot of momentum when we had Jared on the podcast, and we're so excited because it meant that some people who are not normally in our demographic were listening to us, and we wanted to reintroduce ourselves and kind of talk a little bit about the mission of the podcast. So if you're a new listener, you're a repeating listener, you can kind of learn a little bit more about us. And basically our goal with the podcast is to keep talking about uncomfortable things and to ultimately end the stigma around mental health. I think that the conversation has really become more prevalent in mainstream culture, but we want to continue that to make people think, to make people realize that this isn't like a flash in the pan. This isn't a trend. Like, this conversation needs to be serious, but also light. Like, we constantly are talking about that duality in the sense that mental health can be the most serious thing in anyone's life, but we don't want to get people to stop talking about it because it scares them.
I think that a lot of people who have spoken about it have been like maybe therapists or psychiatrists, and that might turn people off because they might think, well, I don't need that. Like, that's not me. But we kind of want to just show people that any Joe Schmo on the street, any Sarah or Liz could feel this way and does feel this way. And it's more normal than you think it is. So yeah, just want to continue the conversation, help people feel less alone, and want to let people know that it's okay to feel how you feel. So today we have our third male guest, Zach. Say hi.
Hi, everyone. How you doing?
Zach's going to talk a little bit about himself on the podcast today, but the way we met him is pretty interesting. He actually reached out to us this past week just talking about,
like, via Twitter DMs.
Via Twitter DMs.
And Instagram DMs.
And Instagram DMs.
To your personal account and the podcast account.
Yeah, exactly.
You are very persistent.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Which I've said we appreciate because we're just people trying to hustle too and like trying to have more conversations with all types of people. So we're honoring that. And we wanted to bring you on to have you kind of talk a little bit about your perspective as a male listener. And I think a lot of people will resonate with that, men and women who listen to the podcast. So do you want to give us like a little brief background of who you are?
Yeah. So as Liz said, my name is Zach. And it's actually funny the way that Sarah described this. I am literally any Joe Schmo off the street. I am a 25-year-old male. I love sports. I love hanging out with friends. There's nothing that interesting about me, but I have a very, very, very different perspective than you guys. But as we were talking about before the podcast, the feelings that you guys talk about in these certain situations really resonate with me. And even though the situations you guys find yourselves in, I might not find myself in those situations. The outcome and the feelings, those are the same.
Absolutely. So we're going to also do Peek and Pit, which we talked to you a little bit about before for our new listeners. Every week we like to talk about like a low point in our week and a high point just to kind of, you know, express that we all go through things. But there are also so many good things that happen to us. We love to end with Peek because we try to keep it positive.
And on a high note too.
And on a high note. And exactly. And really, Peek and Pit can be anything. Like, it can be a new mindset that you have. It can be a positive event. It can be anything small, big. Also, every week on our Instagram stories, we share other people's peaks. So that's something that you can look forward to if you follow us on Instagram, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But I can start. My pit has been, a lot of you may know that I'm trying to find a new job, a new opportunity. And I was making some like really good progress. And it's not that I've heard a lot of negative things, but I just haven't heard. So that's giving me some anxiety. And like, I really thought I had good momentum in finding something. And it can just be a really frustrating part of the job search when you just like don't hear from people. And I kind of get it because I understand like the industry stuff, but it's been a little frustrating. positively, I didn't talk about this on the podcast yet because we recorded before it happened.
Oh, yeah.
But some of you may know it's a little bit late at this point.
I told my mom about this and she freaked out.
She freaked out. Yeah, happy to talk about it again. I was sent a Skims PR package.
Oh, wow.
Because Kim did a program. Kim Kardashian.
Kim
Kardashian did a PR thing where she sent the Valentine's Day collection to her fans instead of, you know, typical models and influencers, even though I'm also both of those things. but yeah, so she sent it to me and that was a dream because literally, like, if you look at my Twitter, you can see for months I've been like, send me a PR package, thinking it would never happen. And she did. And then she reposted me. So it was like wild. Like, I was just in my underwear rapping Kanye on Kim's story. So that was wild. And I DM'd her and she answered. And like, I don't want to talk too much about it because it's like so personal to me, but it's also not at the same time. Anyway, everyone who listens to this podcast knows how much she means to me. So that was just like a really awesome fan moment. It's really similar to when like Sarah met, like it's not, and it is, like, in the sense that when you love someone so much and then you get to like actually interact with them, it's kind of wild. So that was really cool.
Are those both of your like most famous people you would want to reach out to through DMs if you could choose one?
Sarah being Jonas, mine being like Kardashian.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were asking me about Jonas.
Oh, no.
I'm Jonas. Actually, a year ago, one Saturday ago from today was when the Jonas Brothers flew me out to LA.
See, for me, it would be probably a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Who?
Probably. That's a tough
one. You're a Steelers fan, right?
I'm a diehard Steelers fan. Mm. So it would probably be one of them. I'm a diehard New York Rangers fan as well. And being from New York, it might be easier to, you know, come in contact with one of them.
That's
so if you're listening, subscribe.
They might be
five stars.
Point. Yeah. Subscribe.
Probably Henrik Lundqvist would be my
who
Henrik Lundqvist. He's the longtime goalie of the New York Rangers. See, maybe that's what I can provide. I could talk to people about who Henrik Lundqvist is.
Love
the
that.
People that are listening. He's a longtime New York Rangers goalie, an icon in New York City. Unfortunately, hasn't won a Stanley Cup yet, but he's one of the greatest goalies of all time. So similar to Kim Kardashian and the Jonas Brothers, he's the person that if he slid into my DMs,
you'd like
the person that I'd go crazy about.
Yeah.
My celebrity crush, Rachel McAdams.
Interesting.
Oh, I that and I see that and I feel you and I respect you on that decision.
Me too. Like she's like, yeah, I respect that decision too. Sarah, you want to share your peak and pit?
Sure. My pit this week was just, I'm not financially in the place where I would love to be. My brother lives in South Africa, and a lot of people don't know that, but he does with his wife and two kids. And when you have two like little girl nieces that you just want to see all the time, but you can't just like drop $1,500 to go to South Africa and like take off of work, it's kind of difficult and I miss them a lot. But on the bright side, I think they're coming this year. Hopefully.
Love that.
Which would be really, really awesome.
When was the last time you got to go see them?
So I saw them in November in France. We all met up in France. That's where most of my family lives. But yeah, it would just be really nice. And then my peak, I would say, honestly, I know it was my peak last time, but Jared coming on the pod. Mm-hmm. And really the response. Like, I haven't spoken about the response on the podcast yet, I don't think.
No, because
we haven't had one since him. Yeah.
Yeah.
The response has been unbelievable. Like, just so many people reaching out to us who didn't know about the podcast before. And people are starting therapy because of this podcast. People are telling us that they didn't know anyone else felt this way. Like, that is unbelievable and really just, like, all I can ask for.
And I can really tell how much that podcast means to you, because you were truly surprised when I told you that I started listening to you guys like a day or two before the Jared episode.
Yeah. Right?
So I can really tell how much that episode has meant to you guys and how you're really looking to capture that momentum, because you realize that what Jared may have done is started a new conversation with maybe people that before he came on,
exactly,
you hadn't started that conversation with, not due to the lack of trying, just because different people can open up different doors.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, I think it's really important to have different types of people on the podcast, because as you said, it opens up different doors, which we'll get into more afterwards. But I want to hear about your peak and pit, Zach.
So my pit would probably be that I volunteer on Wednesdays at a children's hospital, and one of the kids that was scheduled to go home this week unfortunately couldn't go home. Mm. The good news is that everything is slated for them to go home next week. It was just a hiccup. So hopefully, I only go once a week. So next week when I go, the hope is that the kid is no longer there. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting thing that you hope to never see these kids
right.
when you leave, right?
Yeah.
So it's just something that I do, and it's something that in an attempt to give back, I thought that it was interesting. But yeah, the pit was, unfortunately, the child couldn't go home, but the good news was it's nothing that they think is long term. It was just a small hiccup. Mm-hmm. And then my peak was that my mom had not been feeling well for the past 2 weeks, but she got tests back and everything was good to go. Yay. She got tickets to Florida. She will be going on vacation. Nice. And
awesome.
I'm the type of person that I'm a mama's boy. Mm-hmm. So when my mom is even like has the flu or the cold, it's kind of like the chink in someone's armor.
Yeah.
That, similarly to when you guys were talking about Kobe Bryant on the podcast, like Kobe Bryant was really the first person for me, the celebrity death that was like, that person's invincible. Mm-hmm. And now that person's gone. Your parents are the number one people for you like that.
Wow,
like,
yeah.
So my mom is extremely invincible and I love her. And to see how excited she was about getting the test back and to see that it was something where throughout the time of waiting for the test, she didn't make it as apparent as to how scared she was, but mm-hmm. to see how relieved she was, that just made me very happy. So I really had two very different extremes between peak and pit this week, but I feel like a lot of people have that.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I think it speaks a lot about like who you are in a positive way, that your peak and pit sort of related to other people. And I think that's something we can relate to. But of course, it's easy for us to get caught up in our own space. And some weeks we really just are feeling for other people. So I think that's great.
Yeah. And my biggest anxieties and happiness come from other people's anxiety and happiness. So my anxiety at work doesn't come from the work. It comes from when other people are stressed about the work.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, how other people are doing really impacts me. And that's something that I've always had to deal with, because a lot of times my happiness and my mental health might be driven by external factors. I can't control sometimes how my mom feels, how my dad feels, how my girlfriend feels, how my best friends feel. But if they're in a bad mood, that could potentially put me in a bad mood. So that's something I'm working on detaching.
We talk a lot about therapy on this podcast, and we do have some new listeners, which we said we're so excited about. So we're glad to partner with BetterHelp again to bring you easy, accessible therapy.
Right. Liz and I have talked a lot about how we live in New York and our lives are busy, but we never want to sacrifice our mental health, of course. And BetterHelp is a great solution.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think that, honestly, we just want to bring therapy to as many people as possible, and we're not therapists. So being able to partner with a company that wants to provide easier therapy for people who maybe otherwise didn't know anything about how to get it is a dream come true. So mm-hmm. BetterHelp brings you virtual counselors who you can schedule calls with. You can also text them at any time during a crisis. You can get 10% off your first month of service with our code ITSFINE. Visit betterhelp.com/ITSFINE. That's betterhelp.com/ITSFINE.
I totally agree. Remember when we used to do that?
Agree. Oh, I absolutely agree. Yeah, that was back in our early days, LOL.
Cool. So let's just jump right in. So Zach, tell us a little bit. What I'm interested is how you started like thinking about mental health in your life. And I guess you can just introduce like your relationship with anxiety and mental health.
So I'm one of the few people that, in a sense, I was quote unquote lucky that I had something to happen to me that my mental health kind of slapped me in the face as to how I was doing at that point. As I was saying before, I'm a typical Joe Schmo. I'm a 25-year-old male that did well in high school, did well in college, got the typical finance job in New York City. And when I got down on myself and I got anxious, I kind of did an internal resume check and said things like, I had good grades, I had a good job. There's no way I could be suffering from anxiety. This must be something that everyone goes through. That led me to party. That led me maybe to drink a little bit more than I should. And it all came to a head one night where I had drank a little too much, got out of a cab, and kind of got hit by a car.
I did
get hit by a car, yes. Yeah. It led to some soul searching the months ahead. It kind of led to a lot of things that people were saying about me, people close to me, like my parents, that I was unwilling to listen to. It kind of led me to maybe give it a chance. And my mom was saying that maybe I needed to speak to someone, definitely stop drinking for the time being. One thing when you stop drinking that you learn is you never plan. You never say, I'm never drinking again. You say, I'm not going to drink this week. I'm not going to drink next week. I'm not going to drink today. I'm not going to drink tomorrow. But as we were talking about before the podcast, the drinking was a symptom of the anxiety and the mental health. And the reason why I reached out is because I feel there's a lot of people in my demographic that are sitting in their cubicles on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. just not happy, but not realizing that it's okay to not be happy and to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that's where maybe I can come on and provide a little value to those people.
Totally. And I think a lot of times in our podcast, when we explain how Liz and I handled our situations, mm-hmm. we always say, like, please reach out to us, DM us, like, let us know what you would do or your thoughts, because we always want to add more people into the conversation, because it's not us talking to you. It's us talking to you and you talking back. Like, it's a conversation. It's a dialogue. Like, it's definitely... it's not just, we don't even have all the answers. We don't even have some of the answers.
And that's exactly what me and Liz were talking about on the phone before I came on. We're not here to say, oh, you have the Sunday scaries, this is how you fix it. We're here to say, you have the Sunday scaries, we have the Sunday scaries. That sucks, but let's hug and get through it together, right?
Yeah.
So just start a conversation. Right. Not everyone is going to want to have the conversation, and that's fine. We're not here to judge you either way. You know, when someone is going through something and maybe they listen to the podcast, they might think, oh, Liz also went through this 2 weeks ago, so I'm not feeling alone. Or, oh, Sarah went through this a month ago and she had the same feeling. So even though now I feel like I'm never going to get over this, it is temporary. Sarah did go through it. Thank God 4 weeks ago on the podcast, she talked about it, because now I don't feel alone.
Yeah, it's interesting because we got some of the DMs I got over the past week after we got some new listeners were interesting. They're like, do you have an episode about this? Do you have an episode about this? Mm-hmm. Like, this is something I'm going through. Sometimes I said, absolutely refer to this episode. And sometimes I said, no, like, that's maybe something that we should talk about. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
But again, like, Sarah and I want to help people, and we want to be representatives for this conversation. But at the same time, we're also just, like, part of it is just having a conversation and letting other people know that these conversations exist.
And I think something that you guys have done a very good job of explaining and letting people know is this conversation is bigger than this podcast. Mm-hmm. If you listen to this podcast and you don't feel comfortable DMing any of us, reach out to your best friend, reach out to your sister, reach out to your mom. You don't even have to let us know that you listen, but just hopefully that will cause you to have a conversation with somebody. And maybe having a conversation with a family member will then lead you to have a conversation with a best friend, which may lead you to go to therapy and have a conversation with a stranger. So we just want to give people the tools in the toolbox to, you know, get through these problems as best as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, in terms of males, because that is, you know, after the Jared episode, we saw a spike in men listening to this podcast, which is amazing. And we're really excited about that. But again, Liz and I, we want to know more about what it's like to be a man. And have you felt pressure in your life? I mean, you kind of explained how, like, you didn't want to maybe admit that there was anxiety going on. But, like, what is it like in the male culture to speak about, like, your fears and your anxieties? Like, do you ever feel like there was a pressure to kind of just keep it in?
100%. The conversation that we're having right now, and I just met you guys this week. I'm 25 years old. I've had the same best friends for probably 18 to 20 years. I've never talked about this stuff with them because it's tough. And that might be me and my anxieties thinking that they wouldn't be receptive. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the biggest problem, that people just don't think that people will be receptive.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a problem I have. Maybe later I'll try and have the same conversation with them I'm having with you guys, and I'll see what happens. But it is tough. One thing that I was lucky with is I kind of had a dad that, at the same point when the male stigma of kind of being macho to talking about feelings over the past few years has kind of changed, my dad has also done a great job of raising me, you know, originally to be into sports, to be into all these things. We didn't really talk about feelings, but he's adapted with my needs and has been very open to talking about my feelings. Since I've stopped drinking, he's also stopped drinking.
Wow.
He doesn't have a problem with alcohol or a problem with anxiety or anything like that, but that's just, like, his way of showing me that, like, we're in this together. And that's something that if my problem maybe happened a decade ago when I was in high school, not to say my dad wouldn't have done that, but I can't give you an exact answer because there has been an evolution of how he has looked at me and how I've been willing to talk to him about certain things and not just go to my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because me going to my mom versus my dad is kind of a microcosm of what we're talking about in this podcast.
Yeah.
Me going to my mom is similar to, you know, people listening to you guys and kind of getting that motherly womanly feedback, where my dad might be short and he might be raw and he might just say that sucks, but sometimes that's what I would rather hear, that for the next 5 to 10 minutes I just got to go stick it out and realize that it's temporary, all emotions are temporary, and kind of get through it. Mm-hmm. So sorry if that was rambling, but
no, that was great.
To get back to the original point, it is very tough to talk about feelings as a male, but getting easier. Yeah. So it's only going up from here. Someone like Jared, who, being a fan of Barstool myself, getting that type of person on, I don't think someone like him truly realizes what him coming on a podcast like this does.
And that's what our goal was.
Yeah.
We were like, you have a market, you have an audience of men that we don't even know how to reach. So, and we wanted to.
And you guys have the interesting task of measuring success. Is if Jared comes on and one person decides to talk about mental health, mm-hmm. you did your job.
Yep.
But you hope that, like, when I come on, maybe one or two people start talking about it. But when you have someone like Jared come on, you're getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in my demographic really talking about this. And those are the people that need it, because you guys started this and I hopped on after just to have this conversation, which shows you about the difference between how women and how men think about this conversation. You guys were the ones willing to jump in it and have it. And I wasn't willing, or any other male really wasn't willing to get involved until we saw you guys, you know, pick it up from the ground floor.
Mm-hmm. So when I was on the phone with you,
and the reason I couldn't join that phone call, by the way, I just want to make that clear.
Oh yeah,
is because I had a last minute meeting.
That's fine.
I'm very much a part of this.
Dialogue.
Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. So I had spoken to Zach over the phone and, like, kind of filled Sarah in on the conversation. But one of the ways I could relate to you, like, as a woman, was I was talking about how the two incidences of very severe outcomes of mental illness in my life that I can think of were white men. Sarah and I have been really tactful about, like, we are a mental health podcast talking about uncomfortable things, but we also are careful because we don't ever want to speak on something so sensitive that we, like, trigger people in an unnecessary way, or we talk about things out of turn and we don't know what we're talking about. That being said, like, we are a mental health podcast, so I think talking about the scary things sometimes is wholly necessary. And what I was reflecting to you was, long before I was born, I had mentioned this on the podcast. My mom's brother died by suicide, like, in the 70s. And I wonder, he was 21. So I wonder, like, if life would have been different for him and for some other people I knew, if, like, these types of even casual conversations around mental health existed. And, like, so it's this interesting duality, because on the one hand, we want to make this a conversation that's accessible to people, mm-hmm. but we also have to talk about these serious things. Like, the significant severe ramifications of not talking about it are so strong that we want to make this conversation light and more accessible, mm-hmm. so that those severe outcomes, like, aren't things that we see as frequently. And a separate incident was when I was in college. I had a peer who, I was the president of my sorority, humble brag, and he was the president of his fraternity, and it was, like, a situation where we were very close with that fraternity, and he died by suicide as well.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know if, like, stealing valor is the right word. That sounds wrong, but I wasn't very close with him. Mm-hmm. Like, we weren't friends, so mm-hmm. I can't say that I was affected by it because I lost a friend, but I was affected by it because it just, like, rocked everyone and made everyone realize that sort of what you're talking about, like, this idea of success and accomplishment, and, like, I went to a good school and we were obviously, like, leaders in the community. And so this idea that, like, we couldn't be affected by mental illness was actually the opposite. Like, sometimes the people who are in, you know, like, smart, successful communities are the people that are affected by it so much and they don't talk about
100%.
It because it's like, how is that possible? Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, I also don't want to, like, we'll talk more about this as we get more people on, but we don't ever want to exclude people from the conversation who didn't have upbringings or situations like us. All of this roundabout thing to say, like, from where I sat, I realized, like, how important it was for men to talk about this, because, like, it's just such a problem. And it's like, if you're uncomfortable talking about it, then more people, like, experience it behind closed doors. And I don't want that to happen anymore, you know?
Yeah. And I think with what you're saying is something that everyone agrees with now. It's a very, very difficult conversation to have. But in terms of what you were talking about with stolen valor, I think one thing with the stigma is we should all as a community get out of the habit of, I feel like we do a lot of teaching or telling people how they should feel in certain situations.
Totally mm-hmm. true.
And our job isn't to tell people how to feel. It's to understand how they feel and then kind of work with them from there. Like even with when you were saying like you didn't know the kid, that can affect you in so many ways.
Yeah.
Same age, same school, mm-hmm. same social life. Even so, I keep going back to it, but I never probably was within, you know, 100 miles of Kobe Bryant. But when he passed away, I shed a tear. There's just different ways that different things affect people. And too many people spend time trying to change people's emotions when we should be trying to, you know, help not coddle those emotions, but kind of work with people
to honor them,
realize that for me, my worst times are the general anxiety where I can't note, I can't say what's making me anxious. I could just be like driving in the car and out of nowhere, like anxiety can hit. Mm-hmm. And I don't need someone telling me like, oh, you're in a car right now. Why are you anxious?
Exactly.
I need someone to say to me, okay, you're anxious. You can't tell me why you're anxious. Like, what do you want to talk about? What do you want to do? How can I help?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the conversations that are tough to have, but I truly, truly mean it when I say if you have it once, it makes it so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing I learned from talking to therapists and talking to different people that have mental health issues is if you tell someone something, it kind of cuts the burden in half. So if I have a problem and I tell something to Sarah, that problem, like half of it comes off my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Then if I tell it to Liz, it feels like that problem is now a third my burden. So it really is helpful. And you are able to quantify how much it is helping you when you tell other people your problems.
Right. That's why therapy is like so therapeutic, because, you know, just taking the, like you said, taking the burden off of your own shoulders and at least sharing it with someone else makes you feel like, A, you're not alone, mm-hmm. and B, like even just letting it out. You don't even need to come up with a solution, yep. mm-hmm. but just releasing it is so helpful. And yeah, I think both of what you both yep. said is like, really really wise, and I really, really like what you said about like welcoming other people, yeah, like how people feel, because when Liz was speaking about the person who passed away, like you would assume that it's like, oh, your first instinct was to be like, well, like I didn't know him, so like,
yeah,
you know, like I shouldn't like feel this way. But it's like, why? Like you can feel how you feel, and that's mm-hmm. totally fine. And we shouldn't be telling people.
So many people are checking their own emotions now. Like it's not even other people checking mm-hmm. their emotions. Like you're so in tuned with how
emotion
people
check.
Are talking about things that you yourself said to yourself that I don't think I should be feeling this way.
Right.
Just because that's what you've been taught. Like you don't know this person. You should not feel as bad as someone who did know this person, but that's for no one else to decide except yourself.
Right.
And ultimately it's not even for you to decide. It just is how you feel.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I am like, let's say I'm like, I actually don't cry that often, but like when I
cry,
you do. It's good
cry.
For you.
Yeah.
I like for some reason, like I only cry in certain situations. And when I do cry, I feel like the first thing that comes out of my mouth, if someone else is in the room, is like, why am I even crying right now? Like I'm so sorry. Like, why am I even crying? Like, I shouldn't be crying. Like, this isn't even that big of a deal. Like, that's what comes out of my mouth yeah. right after. And it's like, wait, why am I explaining to this person yeah. like why there are tears coming out of me right now?
100%.
You know? It's okay for you to be anxious. Don't freak out about being anxious, because that's the anxiety that's going to stick with you for 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get anxious about this anxiety, this is the one that's temporary and will go away in 10 minutes. So we're trying to teach people, if you have guests on that are describing situations, it's not how to fix those situations from happening. It's to show guests when they are in those situations how to deal with it and how to get through it and how to lessen maybe the total effect that the mental health will have on them in those situations.
Yeah, I think it's a kind of catch-22 that we're in, 100%. Because the more that we like talk about anxiety, we don't want to make it seem like if you experience these nerves that there's like that we're attributing mental illness to you, because 100%. Even that phrase carries a stigma with it. And while we're trying to break down the stigma, at the same time, we don't want to make people evaluate themselves to death to the point yeah. where they're like, well, is this thing wrong with me? Is this thing happening to me? Because that mm-hmm. cycle of anxiety is truly like just dangerous and not productive.
Yeah.
And we want to bring out the conversation without people being so intimidated by it that they're like, actually scratch it. I just don't want to think about it.
We're not trying to create any pseudo anxiety where people are nitpicking like, oh, this makes me feel a little anxious. Do I now have like extreme anxiety? That's not what we're trying to do. Unfortunately, if talking about it makes people think about it a little closer, that's not a that's not something I have a problem with, because that's kind of collateral damage of the really important conversation that we're trying to have. And like I said, we're hoping no one nitpicks, but if people that don't have anxiety think about their feelings maybe a little closer, that's collateral damage, and I think we're fine with that happening.
I think also it's like the same idea of when you go to therapy and people expect it to be like you come out feeling great. In the same way, we have these conversations and they can sometimes make people uncomfortable. Sometimes I leave therapy and I'm like anxious, because you can't solve problems without, like I always say, opening the Pandora's box. Like if you keep things in a box, the box keeps getting bigger and bigger, but being able to open it and like confront those things that you're scared of can minimize them and make them smaller.
Like it can be uncomfortable, but it's still like it will help towards your long-term progress, even though in the moment it might not feel great.
I have a 35 minute car ride home. The entire car ride home I will be dissecting every single thing that I said sitting here with you, just like similar to what you were saying about like leaving therapy and like kind of breaking it down and thinking about it. Oh, did I use that hour like as successfully as I should have? Why didn't I say this? Why did I say that? When you have anxiety, it's something that really never goes away. And we're hoping, our goal is that no one ever had to listen to this podcast, because everyone has, you know, 100% mental health and no one has anxiety. The fact of the matter is we're realists and we realize that people will have these problems, and just to talk about it, even if just for a little bit, we hope, you know, makes people able to cope with it better. I know just sitting here for what have we been on for like 25-30 minutes? At the beginning I was nervous, and even just talking about it with you guys, I just feel very good and feel like this is almost a therapy session. So
that's what I said at the beginning. I was like, it's going to feel like therapy.
And what we're trying to do is take what people get in that therapist room
and recreate it
everywhere in your best friend's apartment, in your mom's house. Just like have that conversation with everyone. And if it's easier to go to a therapist first to get in the mindset of talking like that, me going to a therapist made it easier for me to open up to my mom and my dad. If I didn't go to a therapist, I would have never reached out to you guys to have this conversation. So if you're a 25-year-old male, don't be scared.
Or an 18-year-old male. An
18-year-old male, or a 25-year-old female, or a 60-year-old, 87-year-old female that is just starting to experience anxiety today. Right. There's no rhyme or reason.
Or we want to be really inclusive. So like
people who, however people identify, however people identify, like there's no right or wrong way. Exactly what we were saying about feelings, like to feel something. And while like we represent some types of people, we know that there's people who like might be different from us in demographics or otherwise that are feeling similar things.
100%.
And like that's what we're trying to accomplish. I actually wanted to touch on something you said with like you hope that the podcast doesn't exist because you hope people don't experience problems. And like it's funny because I'm like, well, we do want the podcast to exist. That's my first instinct.
But
I know what you meant and I agree, but I also disagree, because I actually like I never wish people to go through like unimaginable, like we talked about really scary things on this episode, and I don't want people to go through that. But there are some things that have come out of my anxiety and my own self, like, you know, self-reflection, that have actually helped me so much. And I don't think I would be who I am without like having gone through really scary things. And it's a tough thing because I'm never like, oh, I want you to go through those tough, scary things. But like my dad and I always talk about how if I hadn't have gone through some scary things, like I wouldn't be able to even have this podcast and feel comfortable talking to other people, because it forced me to kind of grow up in a way that maybe other people haven't, or other people had to in different ways. So I agree that I don't want people to go through really scary things, but I also want people to know that when they do go through them, that like there's a community of people to talk about it, and also that it'll teach them so much. Like, and it's hard to see when you're in it, and we talk about that a lot, but like when you are going through something, like ultimately it will change your life in a way that you can't see when you're in it, but it really just brings perspective and helps you grow.
Yeah, and I agree with that 100%. Obviously I was talking about, you know, I see what you're saying from both sides. You saw what I was saying when I was saying I hope no one listens to this podcast.
Right.
We hope that, but we also understand that that doesn't mean that there is a problem with anyone that does have to listen to this podcast, because we do understand that this isn't a perfect world as much as we'd like it to be. And what you said is true. I don't think in any of my endeavors, whether it's educational or with my job or work, if I didn't have the anxiety and I didn't have that little bit of paranoia that mm-hmm. someone was going to catch me, I don't know if I would have maybe pushed or persevered through some of the issues that I've been through. I've actually stopped different medicines that I've taken for anxiety because it got rid of the anxiety, but I lost my edge. And the last mm-hmm. thing you, and it, unfortunately, who Zach is, anxiety will always be a part of. And my impulsivity, my ADHD, that's all stuff that will be a part of me. And even though every single night where something bad has happened, like the night I got hit by the car has been caused by that, all my best nights have also been caused by my anxiety, my ADHD, mm-hmm. maybe my ability, because I'm impulsive, not to sit and wait on a decision. Like even this, like just reaching out to you guys out of nowhere, like maybe if I waited a day and that Jared episode dropped, maybe I would have gotten lost, you know, in mm-hmm. the DMs and all the messages you guys were getting.
Yeah. Well, it's just interesting. I agree. Like, I think it's a hard conversation because when we talked, we had an episode all about medication, and we can mm-hmm. talk more about this later, but what you touched on is so important. And I had a very similar experience with medication where I felt like I lost a big part of me
yeah.
when I took it, but we also never like, we know how many people it's helped. And honestly, it helped me so much in the beginning of me mm-hmm. taking it that like, well, A, we're not experts. We always say that, but B, like, we know that different types of solutions affect people differently.
100%.
And like, so I appreciate what you said. And also I really value what you said about like when it was probably the scariest thing that ever happened to you getting hit by a car. And yesterday on the phone, you were like, I'm so glad that it happened to me.
If I was to build like a Mount Rushmore of things that have happened to me in my life, that would probably be on it, just because mm-hmm. the person that I've become over the last 2 years, although nowhere near perfect, I think on a binary scale, I kind of tipped over from someone that didn't have anything together to someone who maybe has mm-hmm. it a little bit more together. And that deals with really, you know, looking internally. And
yeah,
it was a grueling, grueling month or two after my accident before I finally decided to, you know, seek help, really make the decision to stop drinking. Like there was days where I was having fights with my parents, like, yeah, I'll take 6 months off of drinking, but like on this date, I'll come back. And they're like, why would you even say that to yourself? Hmm. Why would you say on August 31st, six right. months after your accident, you're going to drink? If it gets to August 31st and you don't need to drink,
just
why do you
don't
have
do
to,
it.
Why do right. you have yeah. to drink?
Right.
And my story, I actually did 8 months after my accident. I had one night where I had like two or three beers just to like see if I could go back into it. And I just woke up the next day and I just felt terrible mm-hmm. and was like, this isn't for me. I guess I kind of grew out of it, and I guess I have kind of a social compass where my body truly felt bad that all the work that I had done for myself over mm-hmm. the past 8 months, why would I be willing to maybe put that away, throw that away to have two or three beers
right
with
like
my
what
friends?
Is it giving you?
I'm lucky enough, and all my friends will say this, where I'm very social and outgoing, so I don't need like to drink to have fun. Although my social anxiety was at a point where if I was going to a friend's apartment to pregame, I would take a shot or two before I would go, even though I was going to see my best friends.
Before the accident?
Before my accident,
wow.
yeah. Like if I was going to have a pregame, like, and a bunch of friends were coming and maybe they were having some friends that I didn't know that well, I would like take a shot or two before I came. Went, just because my anxiety was that bad.
So it's interesting because this is a separate conversation, but this idea that you have to like take a shot or then you have to explain why is the entire like thing that we're talking uh-huh. about on this podcast, because we're trying to make conversations that are often uncomfortable more comfortable. Yeah. And honestly, I know so many people who are like, it's really hard for me to be sober because when I go in social situations, the conversation becomes heavy when they're like, well, why aren't you having a drink? And you have to say, either I'm not drinking or you're honest and you're like, I'm sober. And then yep. someone else is like, oh, and they feel uncomfortable. And we can definitely talk more about that. Like as a podcast, I'm so comfortable having people on to talk about sobriety and stuff. But it's just interesting because that scenario is exactly like what we talk about.
Yeah. And like I was saying prior to recording, I have a lot of stories that just even when I would go back and listen to your prior podcast, there are so many situations that I just have like crazy stories, not to brag or to say like this happened to me, but like I feel the more interesting and powerful the story, the more it could resonate with the listener. And maybe if my story is a little crazier, it will help the listener maybe remember how to handle certain things in those situations.
So it's interesting that you say that. There are a lot of, I have a lot of thoughts about everything that's been said in the last 10 minutes.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. So first, to respond to what you just said, I don't know if you heard our episode about this guy, Jeff, who got into an accident.
I saw like the videos and I saw like the posts. Yeah. I didn't get a chance to.
So he was hit by a car as well when he was training for the 2018 marathon.
Yeah, I think on the Instagram like caption you had that he got hit and then he ended up doing the marathon.
And then he ran the marathon the next year. So it kind of just all ties back to like, we were asking him like, how do you feel about it now? And it's crazy that he's gone to this place, but he was just like, I'm so grateful that it happened to me because like, look what I have now in my life, which is an unbelievable outlook after something so like drastic happened to him. But just to like go back to what you were saying earlier, it's, I think that like, this is like really far back from what you guys were saying. Ideally it would be everyone's mental health would be 100%. But it's actually really interesting because now in the news, like you hear people saying all the time, like these millennials, like all they talk about is their anxiety. And
I saw someone comment on your Instagram that the conversations that you guys are having, be wary that they might be romanticizing mental health.
Oh yeah.
And that's just something that kind of made me a little upset. And that's why I was saying the thing about if some people think of it that way, that's just collateral damage, because I feel like those people are just looking for a problem no matter what the conversation people are having. The conversation that you guys are having, 99.9% of it is for people that need it.
And it's just interesting because I feel like years ago, like maybe these conversations weren't being had and, you know, we're just starting to now talk about it more. But it's not because now anxiety is worse or now people need to get their mental health in check. Like it's always been a problem. Like I think that's the biggest issue is that like, I hear my parents, like my parents are really, really supportive of this podcast. They love what we're doing. But at the same time, they just read the newspaper. So it's like, oh, those millennials, like anxiety is worse than it's ever been. I'm like, I actually don't know if I agree with that. I think anxiety has always been very bad. Not bad, but it's always been like, it's always been around. Mm-hmm. And just now that we're talking about it, because we're trying to help it and we're trying to make it better, it just means that people were suppressing their emotions for so long. And I don't actually think we'll ever get to a point where like anxiety doesn't exist. I think life is going to happen. Unexpected things are going to happen. Like you can't plan life. You can't plan the future. And I think that now we're actually having conversations that will help us prepare for the inevitable like feelings that you might have after something not great happens. Like, God forbid, someone gets hit by a car in the future. Yep. Like that's just life and you can't prevent that. And ideally those things would never happen, but they will, and life will continue to happen. So it's like, how can we have the open conversations now so that when things inevitably do happen, there's no like drastic downfall where people are like, no one's ever been through this. I'm totally alone. Like, how do I get through it? It's like, well, now we're having an open conversation about it. So you know that no matter what life throws at you, we can talk about it and we're here and we can be open about it, and that's totally okay. And the last thing I want to touch on that you said earlier is that with medication, I also was on medication for a really long time, like 4 years, and then I stopped. And the feel like I'm definitely much more anxious now than when I was on anxiety medication, like of course. But when I was on it, like I didn't feel much.
You lost your edge.
I wasn't feeling much at all.
You weren't Sarah. You were
exactly.
You didn't have the feeling of anxiety, which was nice, but you also didn't feel like yourself.
Right.
Because like anxiety is such a like, part of you that as Liz was saying, it's not nice to have that, but it is. It's a feeling that I'm comfortable with because it's been such a part of my life that when I did lose all that anxiety, it was kind of a very, very, very weird feeling that I didn't like. And I've had, and I know people that have taken medication and have become zombie-like, so.
Yeah, exactly.
I would be definitely curious, as we always say, to invite someone on who maybe is comfortable talking about being medicated and how it's really helped them, because I think we're actually all kind of saying similar things, which is great because we're all like, that's what a conversation is. But just to be mindful that like there's some people who have.
I'm on medication now that is working. Well, that is good.
I will say, like when I was on it, like there were of course, right now I feel like, wow, I can feel my emotions more. But like, it also, I needed it at the time. And it
100%.
It helped my life so much. Like, I was able to get through some of my darkest moments just because I had help from, like, I was able to just kind of allow myself to get the help that I needed. Mm-hmm. And like, once I did that, the medication really, really helped me. And I was happier. I was able to go to work and do what I needed to do. And like, I think that since then, while I was on the medication, I was working really hard in therapy to get the tools that I needed. Mm-hmm. So that going off the medication, it was like, okay, well, now I've had so much experience working on what I can do when I'm not on the meds that like, it's a little bit easier. But I, at the time when I didn't have the therapy experience that I had, it really helped me. And I have so many positive things to say about medication. So like, I fully encourage it.
Yeah, yeah. And that makes sense. And just to go back to what you were saying about how you don't feel like mental health problems are worse now than they've been in the past. Not to seem like I'm a statistician, but reports actually back up what you say in terms of a lot of things now are actually a lot better than they've been in the past.
Absolutely.
But because of social media, yep, and because of the millennial culture and because mm-hmm. people are willing to open up, people think that the problems are worse now. But we're really in a time, just in this world, and I'm not going to comment on other things, but we're in a time in general where morale and kindness is at an all-time high. We just live in a world also where the bad side of that, or the reverse side of that,
yeah,
is there's a light shown on that due to social media and mm-hmm. due to the news and due to television and due to YouTube. Mm-hmm. So what you are saying is correct.
Thank you.
So just to wrap up, because I have to go shortly, but we wanted to start to ask our guests, and Sarah and I will talk about this too when we do episodes alone or with other people as well. What are some tangible things that maybe, or just one tangible thing that you've done, big or small, that's helped you cope with some of your maybe anxiety or other things you go through?
Meditation is big. I was one of those people probably before my accident that if you told me you meditated when you left, I'd probably make fun of you mm-hmm. and said that you're a weirdo. How do you do that? There is nothing like meditating. It gives you a better feeling than when I was drinking and getting drunk and partying. Like when you're done with, like, I don't meditate for that long. I meditate probably twice a day for like 5 to 10 minutes a day.
Wow.
And
that's impressive.
Just the feeling afterwards is a feeling that, Do you guys meditate?
I should.
I don't, but Sarah's a yogi, so.
Yeah. Like I was saying, some feelings, I'm bad at describing the raw emotion, but it's just like you feel very powerful and you feel at ease and you feel very different with your conversations. You're more willing to listen to people. And I realize that my relationship with my girlfriend and my parents has also gotten better because I'm taking care of myself. And so if you're asking for one, I would say a big one is meditation.
Do you use an app?
Yeah, I was going to say.
I did. I found the app was kind of oxymoron-ish, where a point of meditating was to kind of just silence. Think in your own brain and be silent. But then I was listening to these people kind of give me cues. I would say if you're looking for structure and to get into it, maybe start with a podcast. And then what I do is like, I mean, I meditate to like Highest in the Room by Travis Scott now. Like I can turn on any song that, or like two songs in a row that will go like between 5 and 10 minutes. And I just have that ability to get myself in a mindset where if anyone's screaming in the background or if the phone at the office is going off, I can really just focus on myself. So I would say if you've thought about getting into it, these apps have free trials, or you can just kind of go on Spotify or YouTube and look up a meditation mm-hmm. playlist, but I would definitely try it.
That's awesome.
That's great. So we always plug ourselves at the end of the episode. So as always, some of you maybe found us through Instagram, through Twitter, which is awesome. But if you found us through the podcast app, you can check us out on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod. You can check us out on Twitter at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod, but minus the O. So It's Fine
there was
I'm
no
Fine
room.
PD. There's not enough room. and you can follow me on Instagram at Liz Height. On Twitter, I'm at LizTweets5. How about you?
You can follow me at Sarah L. Sassone. That's N like Nancy. And that goes for both Instagram and Twitter.
Great. How about you, Zach?
I have one picture on Instagram and my handle is at ZDemino, ZDEMINNO. And truly, if anyone if anyone maybe feels uncomfortable reaching out to Sarah or Liz, please reach out to me. Anything you say to me will obviously be confidential. I really, truly am looking to further this conversation and help anyone in any way that I can. So thank you guys for listening.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
So
with that, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.
Sorry, clammy hands.